This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasin with Lynn Mark and Noel Lim in the studio this morning. And before we kick off the show, in an hour's time, Noel Lim will be speaking with Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad. And we're going to find out whether Tun M wants to be Prime Minister for a third time, and that's happening in an hour on The Breakfast Grill. But now, taking a look at what we have in store right now, in 10 minutes, we're going to be taking a look at the legal industry and how they're doing amidst the new MCO. And we'll be talking to Salim Bahir, president of the Malaysian Bar. But right now, let's take a look at the markets.
Yes, US markets, the Dow was down 0.2%, S&P 500 was down 0.4%, and NASDAQ was down 0.1%.
So Asian markets were mixed, though. The Nikkei and the Hang Seng were both up 0.9%. Shanghai was down 0.9%. The STI up 0.8%, while the FBM KLCI was marginally in the red, down 0.1%.
Yeah, let's take a look at some of the commodities as well. Gold is at $1,847 right now. It's marginally in the green this morning, while on a year-to-date basis, it is down 2.7%. Well, it has only been 2 weeks of the year so far. Brent crude is is in the green this morning, up 0.5%, $56.40 per barrel, up almost 9% year to date. And if we take a look at Bitcoin, just under $39 a Bitcoin right now. It's it's up 34% year to date. So this is definitely something, the volatility is very, very clear there. But of course, right now, to take a wider look at what's happening on global markets, we're speaking with Tim Mulholland, president of TGM Limited. Tim, welcome to the show. And I guess we'll start off with, what are your expectations for JP Morgan and Citigroup when they release results later tonight?
You know, I don't have high expectations. I think what's most important is going to be their outlook going forward, because things didn't really change that much, you know, other than, the trading was good. I'm certain of that. You know, some of the investment banking, that sort of thing. But the loan books are still interesting because we don't really know what's on the commercial books. However, having said that, I think it's going forward, and going forward does look bright with the steeper yield curve, stronger economy, rotation, and hopefully they don't get too much regulation, which I don't think they will, and share buybacks. So, in other words, look at the forward-looking statement.
Do you have any expectations for how much share buybacks we should expect this quarter from the big banks?
Oh, they've been shut down for 6 months on that, and they do have, you know, quite a bit. So I couldn't give you the exact figure, but I do think you're going to get there's going to be a big portion of the equity return this year is going to be buyback. So.
Yes, I'm just looking at the Chinese technology stocks right now. Are fund managers already looking at divesting Chinese tech, given the risks associated with holding these stocks?
You know, it's interesting, the back and forth on that. And, you know, I guess I'd probably rather have it in CNH or CNY, the return, rather than USD. But I think there's other vehicles and ways to get exposure other than here. And I do think they're going to at least, the Pentagon blacklisting of Tencent and Alibaba was blocked. So that was good. I still like both of them, and I think this is a time to buy. And if it's not in dollars, I think all the better.
Now, Tim, looking at tech a little bit more, Intel has announced that VMware's Pat Gelsinger is their new CEO, taking over from Bob Swan. And the market seems pretty pleased with this, closing 7% up when it was announced. Why was this such a welcome move?
Well, I think it was beaten down so bad, and I think it gives some new life. And, you know, Intel still, you know, my guess, it was such a dominant company, and it's still good. It probably has promise. My guess is it's probably looking like the Microsoft story was about 6 years ago when Nadella took over.
Oh, that's quite a promising situation if that's the case, Tim. So we'll look forward to seeing how that plays out. But right now, let's take a look at the Biden administration. How do you rate the chances of President-elect Joe Biden's full-on stimulus going through the U.S. Senate? I think he's announced the details there already, but I think a key part here is the Byrd rule and how that might be used to block the proposal.
Well, you know, that's obviously something, but they only need a three-fifths rather than a two-thirds majority. And, so it could be difficult, but I think that the temperature right now is for stimulus. And, they were ready to go with the $1.9 trillion back in November. So I think you might get it done. I'm still looking mostly for the big infrastructure project coming. for the boost, but I do think they'll do it. And I think this is where what merits watching the bond market here. And I think you're seeing some stickiness in bond yields right now. And that's something we have to watch going forward because that will impact asset pricing.
Well, I know, I just want to take a look at this little latest piece of news. So the Fed chair, Powell, has just said that it is not time to talk about exiting the ultra-easy monetary policy. So do you, in your view, does this put to rest earlier concerns about inflation?
No, actually, not at all. I think it's most important why interest rates are rising. And I think the Fed, if it's inflation-led, which would, I think, be if they got too much of what they wished for, it would be inflation-led. In which case, I think their choices would be very narrow because the only remedy for that in that situation would be from the raise rates and to sell bonds in their portfolio. So if it's really going up just because of economic strength and not too much, then yeah, it's just very, very bullish and more Goldilocks. But if inflation starts coming back and you're seeing it, I think, in broad-based commodity prices now, I think that's a whole different story. But maybe it's a story for later in the year. But I think the bond market is beginning to be forward-looking. And maybe the vigilantes will be back.
Now, Tim, with prices of iron ore and copper rising, should investors look to commodity-linked currencies like the Aussie dollar for higher yields? What other currencies besides the Aussie might generate alpha returns?
Well, I don't know what kind of yields you're getting in Aussie right now, but I wouldn't call them high, but it's definitely commodity currency. I think, you know, ringgit might be, which you would know much more about than me, but I think non-dollar exposure, and especially to commodity-producing countries, I think is going to be very good from, you know, the balance of payments and current account and so forth and so on. And plus the rising leverage to the rising prices, because I do think you're seeing a commodity boom. I think as Goldman indicated a couple of weeks ago, I think you're seeing a commodity boom, and we're in the early stages.
Tim, in that commodity boom, is there anything you're particularly paying attention to?
Well, I tell you that, how about LNG these days, you know? Crude oil is one that, you know, people think, oh, with this, you know, green energy, no crude. Crude can actually go a lot higher because of that. But I like the corn and soybeans and wheat, you know, the metals, the base metals. I actually still like gold, too. You know, but I mean, I think Bitcoin is probably really stolen the show there. But I do like commodities in general. The interest, the, you know, base metals and the agricultural, I think, is really, I'm very bullish on it.
Do you have an outlook for gold for 2021? It's down on a year-to-date basis right now, about down 2.7%.
Oh, you had to remind me. Yes. it is. But I think because Bitcoin's really stolen the show. People like Bitcoin because you can use it really as a better medium exchange, so forth and so on. But I wouldn't give up on gold, and I think it's time to accumulate. And some actually, gold mining stocks I still like as well.
All right, Tim, thank you so much for your time this morning. That was Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited, giving us his outlook, or at least his thoughts, on what's going on in the world of world markets. What were some of your key takeaways, Noel?
Yeah, I think it's about the interest rates, right? How do you look at it? Why and when the Fed will actually increase it? The reasons be due to, if growth is due to inflation-led, then that's something to consider. Or if the economy is growing really fast, and maybe then it's time for the Fed to consider winding down some of its policies.
Now, Tim made some comments. You know, he was quite optimistic on the future of the U.S. as well. He said it's looking bright, particularly with a stronger economy expected under Joe Biden. He also mentions the fact that he thinks the temperature there is very much for stimulus. And we have had news that President-elect Joe Biden has unveiled the details of his $1.9 trillion U.S. dollar coronavirus rescue package as well, designed to support households and businesses through this pandemic. Now, this proposal, which is called the American Rescue Plan, calls for direct payments of $1,400 to most Americans, bringing the total relief to $2,000, including the $600 payout we saw in December.
So after 4 years of making America great again, they're going to be focusing on America's Rescue Plan right now. So they're increasing the federal per week unemployment benefit to $400 and extending it through end of September, increasing the as well as increasing federal minimum wage to $15 per hour and extending eviction and foreclosure moratoriums until the end of September. There are a whole load of other details here, but essentially, as we're going back to what Tim said earlier, when it comes to something like this and the bird rule, it's going to take, I think, 3/5 of the Senate to approve something like this, and that means 60 senators. So they've got I think a blue wave or a semi blue wave is coming to play. They've got 50 seats in the House right now. Let's see who are the 10 who will cross over.
Yeah, so I think this plan is the first of two major spending initiatives that Biden is putting together. I think in total he may be looking at $3 trillion, and the second bill is expected in February, which will tackle some of the longer term goals like creating jobs, reforming infrastructure, and combating climate change.
And now, very quickly, let's talk about Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Co. I think they're the biggest contract chip maker in the world. They're going to be pouring as much as $28 billion into capital spending this year, a staggering sum aimed at expanding its technological lead and construction of a plant in Arizona to serve key American customers. I'm probably guessing Apple is one of them. And just to put that into context, $28 billion is about 51% of their forecasted earnings for 2021.
So capital spending for 2021 is targeted $25 to $28 billion, compared with $17.2 billion last year, and about 80% is expected to be devoted to advanced processor technologies, suggesting that TSMC anticipates a surge in business for cutting-edge chipmaking.
So, I mean, it's a Taiwanese player that has been in the market for a really long time, and I guess they're very determined to maintain their dominance.
Yes, and I think I read this earlier today, that Intel is also considering using TSMC as a contract manufacturer. So that will be very interesting to see how that plays out, especially with new leadership at the helm of the chip maker, the American chip maker. Anyway, right now we're going into a few messages. When we come back, we'll be speaking to Salim Bashir, president of the Malaysian Bar, on the impact of the MCO on the legal industry. We've also got a poll running on Twitter right now. What's your main concern about the COVID-19 vaccines? Let us know over there at BFM Radio. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.